and welcome to the Weekly Scroll Podcast. My name is Ryan.
And I'm not Jarrett Crater.
What? I am. What?
And this is Not Cat Chats, episode 2, our monthly cat-hating podcast, where all we do is talk shit on cats the whole time. No, that's not
what we're doing. Okay, sorry. No.
This is our monthly I hate cats, and then they give me shit about it, but then we talk about Space Penguin Inc. and any random bullshit that comes to our mind with the one and only Jarrett Crater. How are you doing this morning, Jarrett?
I'm doing, it's lunchtime over here on the other coast, and I had burritos. Shout out to Orbital Intelligence, if you are listening in the background. Yes, I had burritos.
Good times. Did I eat yet today?
I haven't eaten yet.
I don't know. I've been up all night and I don't remember what I ate. I have coffee right now, though, so...
I just had some.
Look at this. The blood of my enemies. I love this mug. This is a great one. This is Wizard of the Barge. Blood of my enemies. Love me some Wizard of the Barge.
What do you got against coffee cherries?
What's a coffee cherry?
That's where you get the blood of coffee out of. Did you know that coffee cherries are fruits?
I did not know that coffee cherries
are fruits. Now you know.
Don't look at us. What happens if you eat a coffee cherry?
It's called cascara, and you get just like a little bit of a buzz from it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do they sell coffee cherries anywhere?
You can, yeah. You can get cascara, and like you can brew it and stuff like that. You?
I can't stand you guys.
What? No, seriously. Like one of my friends, Kaylee, Kinigan, won nationals for pour over coffee. She's a barista.
Nice.
And I know all kinds of stuff about coffee. I've worked at some coffee shops before, so.
Me too.
And drank at a lot of them. And really, which one?
I worked at Starbucks for like 6 or 7 years. I was there forever.
Right on.
And that was, I mean, because I moved a bunch and they let me keep, and I conned them into letting me keep my West Coast pay when I'm south. So I was getting paid the most there. And then I worked for a like boutique coffee bar. So that was both coffee and alcohol. For a while, that was pretty cool.
Very hip.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. People, every time I made something, people would go like, "Yeah," you know.
Were they really?
No.
Fuck.
Well, every time someone tangents, we'll do that here. Yeah. An all snaps episode, baby.
This whole time. It's just been like, snaps thus far.
Right, fucking now. So hey, we're a TTRPG podcast. Jarrett Crater's here. Hey, Space Penguin Inc.
Yes, that's the name of our company. We're named after a cat, and I know that you don't like cats, but maybe we can go into that in a future episode of
Episode 9 will be actually about cats.
Oh, there we go. All about our 9 cats. We only have 3.
There you go.
So,
yeah. How many cats do you have on her?
I don't care because this
is not cat chat.
Whoa.
So, no. Man. I'm sorry. That was mean.
I hope we're not using all the comedy up in the first like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm spent. That was my load. So what's new? What do we got cooking? What's going on?
What's new? What's new? The biggest one that is looming over our heads like doom in the night is you thought I was going to say Karen, and yeah. I'm going to say Gary Con. I depart next Wednesday and then return the following Tuesday. And super duper excited to take this little guy with me. This is the for those of you at home prototyping, this is the Game Crafter medium box. This is the medium box. Feel free to reach out to me if you're prototyping your board game. With the game crafter, because we actually have one. We have Cutthroat Fruit Merchants by David Torrey that's in the other room that was actually in the large box. And David was like, oh, no, this is the media box, I think. And he said the magic words, I think. And I was like, cool. So I'm going to order the medium box and get that. And it's going to be kind of big, right? And it's going to have this beautiful Doug Kovacs painting around the outside. Nope, I get the medium box and it is small. It is this size of, I'll show you this. Oh, we got these two. We can talk about these. A5 book for comparison. So currently, oh, right, nice. Now, it might stay at this size. Like, I kind of like, and am in love with this a little bit. I didn't print out a rules book this because the rules aren't done. This is a prototype, but we've got some markers. We've got some decks of cards. I put some dice in here and whatnot. Anyway, there's boards, there's little meeples. It's a dudes on a map game. For those who don't know what dudes on a map, it means you put your little meeples and you roll dice and you move them around and then they interact with different stuff. I mean, that's my version of what dudes on a map is. I'm sure somebody on Reddit will get at me about it, right? Right, Hunter? Somebody on Reddit?
No, absolutely. They're right? Getting in the comments, right? Get in the comments, y'all.
Right, exactly.
I don't think anyone on Reddit even knows who we are.
That's probably very true.
Right. You should remedy it. You should. I dare you to remedy that.
Fuck that. No, I'm good with that. I'm good without all of that.
But I'm taking taking Killer Wizard with me. So if anyone watching or listening in or watching later happens to see me at GaryCon, I'm gonna have a big pink hat with a cat on it that says "Live in the Meow." That came in this month's cat lady box that I will be wearing. So I'll be easy to spot. And if you want to sit down, I would love to get in as many games as I can of this. It's two-sided, so you can technically play two different games, although you can play both sides, like A side and B side, in an order. A side is a hex crawl. You're traveling across the wastelands and picking up stuff, and then B side is a tower crawl. It's a dungeon, essentially. Well, it's a tower. It's not a dungeon. It's a tower, Jared. And it's super straightforward. You can play them separate from each other. There's rules to, you know, get your characters enough stuff to go on the back. So it's meant as a convention post con game, you know, after hours thing that you just kind of like pick up and play. Each side is built to play in like 35 to 40 minutes. So it's kind of weighted heavily so that you lose. Kind of, you know, I like my board games like I like my RPGs, full of death and decay.
Brutal as hell.
Right, like exactly. but it's very funny. It's very much lighthearted. Like in the pick that's been they sent floating around in our newsletter, one of the things you can find is like dog-eared trucker mags. For those who don't know what a trucker mag is, it's semi-porno. There might be naked ladies in it. And you know, one of the other items that you can find in Kill the Wizard is rat gnawed diapers. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have just longed for a game where you can find an item called rat gnawed diapers, we are the game for you. Yeah. So that's the new jam.
Cool.
Yep. Big news. Cairn 2E boxed set goes to live on the crowdfunding platform of people's choice, whether they want a choice or not. Kickstarter.
Yay, Kickstarter. On the
27th of May? No, of March. God, I wish it was the 27th of May. This shit part of it would be over already. Well, I had a great call with Yohai this morning. And we've got it nailed down. We're getting our tiers locked in, what we want to do. It's going to be really basic. Some people are going to, I know a lot of folks going into this with a lot of expectations from a lot of other game companies and just a lot of the way that Kickstarters have been built and done and stuff like that, with a lot of extras and hooray and fluff and stuff like that. Like it's gonna maybe change people's minds a little bit about the way that we want to use it. Using crowdfunding, using things, you know, using platforms like that to essentially get pre-orders for your systems, your games, your books, or whatever. It's a thing that you do. It works. It's a thing that, you know, initially back when I first came on the show, I was just like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I still don't want to do it, but it's a way to do it. It's part and parcel of the workflow of how things go. So it is the way we're going to do it, but we're going to bend it and we're going to twist it and tweak it to our way of doing things. Working with Yohai has been awesome. We have very, 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 very similar constructs and way we think of things. We want to hit, you know, a price point for affordability. We want to keep the fluff to a minimum. We want people to be very clear with what they're getting. We want the prices to be really easy to understand. We just want it to be, you know, we want it to be like we would want it to be, like go somewhere, press the button, give the money, X amount of time, things come up, you know. One of the other cool things about doing it this way is, and really, really putting the squeeze on production team. And, you know, thanks, Adam. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Yohai. Thanks, Bruno. Thanks, you know, Amanda and Brad and Zedek and everybody else, you know, who's doing all this work. Roke, everyone who's worked on this thus far, thank you for, you know, working so hard to get the thing ready so that it's ready to go when we go live. You know, as we're finishing the first section of the crowdfund campaign, the actual Kickstarter, the goal is to, you know, I'm not going to say fully what it is right now, but somebody's going to be like, I saw you on that show, on that video show, and you said it was going to be this. And the goal is, what we're pushing for is having a complete, ready to go digital version of the product, whether that's the final polished one or not. But, you know, around the time that this closes, we'll be able to show you all these cool, great covers, all of these images. Cool. We're well ahead of things on that. We're well ahead of things on the production side. I just got some really great videos from our printers. Three cats. Look at that. There's more cats everywhere. Yeah,
more cats. Bring them all in here.
It is pretty faded that we have three cats and that the printer who's handling this is three cats. Hat tip to Justin Sirois for introducing me to Jenny Ming and the gang at Three Cats. They're awesome. I just got some great videos today from their warehouse. They're preparing our white box sample. For those who don't know what a white box sample is, it's white and it's a box. It's essentially one of these things with all the parts that go in it, but instead of having your really cool, pretty art and everything like that, everything is just white. And it's mainly meant so you can tell and get a good feel for what the paperweight is, how heavy the thing is going to weigh, so we can get accurate estimates on shipping. So people aren't like, oh my God, you said it was going to cost this. And then 2 months later, you're adding in more money because it's going to cost this. We're just like, we don't want to do that. And we don't want to also eat that cost of it. You know, we want to get an accurate weight so we know how much a thing is, so that we can tell you how much a thing is. That way the consumer, the end goal person, can make the decision of whether they want to buy the thing or not, you know, now, or if they want to try to get it later. You know, there is no ifs, ands, but you're going to buy it. Some people don't. I mean, I've got things on some Amazon wish lists that have been there for a decade plus, and they're going to stay there. You know, looking at you, Ivan Brunetti's True Porn, which is a bunch of great comic books, comic strips by a bunch of, like, it's just been on there for years. And every time there's a reprint of it, like, I'm just like, I want to buy it, but then I don't buy it. Am I freezing up?
No.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Okay.
I looked like I was freezing up, and maybe I confused my camera.
No, yeah, you are definitely frozen.
No. I'm doing this, aren't I?
It's a good pose. No, it's a great pose.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So imagine me just doing that. Imagine me just plugging in my, unplugging and plugging my camera back in and seeing if it starts. Nope, it doesn't. Man, I love when this happens.
We'll just call you the ghost of Jert for the rest of the episode. You know?
Okay, well, we'll see if it comes back on, won't we?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
We did it.
Look at us.
Well, we maybe did it. Now I'm going like this. I got my hands up. Yeah. Really not quite sure, but
this is a vastly superior pose.
Sure.
You kind of look like an oil painting too. This is like this is one of those like accidental Renaissance things happening right now.
This is like Edvard Munch's The Smile. Anyway, a white box sample of the Cairn box is coming in. It's on its way. So that's really cool. Super stoked for that. That actually will ship tomorrow, and then that might be traveling with me to GaryCon, so I can meet up with other game creator producer peoples and kind of talk to them on that.
So, Jared, about the Kickstarter project, you said you guys are keeping it like simple. Can you reveal to us like what those tiers are kind of going to be and like what there is to expect from the project? Is it like just book only, like?
So there's going to be, look at that. I fixed it again. We'll see how long it lasts. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm just going to talk.
AI generated right now.
So there will be, there'll be the $1 pledge that, people can act to follow along. And we're going to do the cool thing that I like to see and like to do. And that'll get you backer pricing in the BK pre-order store. Cool. And then there will be a digital tier because there are digital things that are going with this. It's not just the player's book. There'll be the warden's book. There's some adventures that, stuff's going to be with it and some other cool, neat things. And then there'll be the physical tier. And the physical tier is going to be the boxed set. And that's kind of where we're leaning. The reason that we're feeling pretty confident of going that way. And again, this is all subject to change before we press that big red button or whatever color button it is, on, the 27th, is, we can change things up until then, so this is all grain of salt.
Yeah.
But Cairn lives. Cairn is alive. You can right now get the player's guide version of 2E. You can literally go to the Cairn RPG website and pull the SRD, and if you wanted to, you're allowed to assemble that in any fashion, any way, shape you want. Yohai has kept Cairn in print, at cost on Lulu for years now. And that's kind of the thing that we're talking about doing. It's like, we don't want to exclude anybody from getting these things physically, but we want to run one crowdfund for this boxed set. The goal of it, of this whole thing, is a digital version and a physical version of this boxed set, as opposed to a digital version of the player's book and a physical version of the player's book and the warden's book and all these other little things, we're working as hard as we can to keep the cost low, so that it will be more reasonable for someone to pick up and get the box set, because we want people we want it to be a total package as well. We want people to just be like, I am comfortable with spending X amount of dollars on this because it's got all of these things in it. We've built our stretch goals in to make improvements on the items that go in that box. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep this as simple as possible. We can keep it one SKU. I don't want to give too much away. We did some other talking this morning about some other things. I don't know, there's some neat cover artists that are working on some stuff and some other art that's going in, but everything we do is the goal is to make that digital version of the package that you get at that time and the physical that you get when you purchase the box set as the important thing. People are going to be like, now how come there's not an a la carte this and this? And it was like, well, we didn't say there's not an a la carte this. There's always the future,
right?
There's always the future. But here at Space Penguin, we're a two-person show. It's Debbie and I, right? And she's working a day job still part of the time, so we're trying to keep things as simple and neat and concise as we can, so that we can do more stuff. You know, before we started, Hunter, you were joking that JERT is in a competition to see how many things Space Penguin can publish. You know,
Yeah.
and it's not so much that it's more building the supply lines. This is a big ask, I know, but to everybody watching and listening and whatnot, if you have a friendly local game store that you go to your friendly local game store and ask them, are you an ACD partner? ACD is a distribution partner. We sell products to ACD at a wholesale rate to distribution so that stores can buy them at a reasonable rate. And distro makes things so much easier. And but that's how you get to see cool things like at my local up here up the street. I remember the first time they had Morkborg there. And I was just like, I worked on this book. And they were just like, what? And I walked up to the counter and I was like, that's my name. And he was like, hi, that's awesome. I was like, we just really like the cool yellow and black cover. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, Johan's great, blah, 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 and all this. And they were just like, you know the creators? I was like, yeah, I just said I worked on it. But it's great when so anybody out there, if you can go to your friendly local game store and ask them if they're an ACD partner, and you know, and when and they the ACD has a catalog that comes out every month that goes to retailers called Meeple Monthly, and it's where people put in the new release. So the way that ACD works is it's 4 months ahead of time. I have to be soliciting product. We have to be telling folks, hi, this thing, which we'll talk about our new releases. Look at this segue. I'm
Amazing.
look
Such a
at these
clean,
fucking
natural
segues.
segue. Just
It's almost like
driven,
a
driven by ADHD.
segue. It's like a driven over a cliff. I had to get it in there.
There you
But it's a 4 month lead. It's a 90 to 120 day lead time on the cycle of getting things out there. So that's why a lot of my collaborators, our collaborators, have just been lately, they've been like, wait, what? So we need the cover and the interior, but we have X amount of time on the end, but you have to know the page count. And it's like, yeah, so I have to have the cover, the completed cover. I have to have the interior as much as it is, because that has to go to Die Sugars, because Die writes all of our marketing copy. Thank you, Die. And then I say Space Penguin's three people, but and I just realized, I was like, it's not three people. Die is actually the secret heart of it, because Die is the one who reminds me on a Monday that it's going to be okay. So thanks, Die. And so we have to have that for marketing blurb. And then the once those are solicited in Meeple Monthly and those go out in that magazine, then the buyers there, and Michael is our buyer there. He's the head of the buyers, but he's our buyer for us too, can based on title, and based on, you know, what line it's for and how many. And then, you know, previous trends. Everything's a spreadsheet, y'all. Everything is looking at a bunch of numbers, but he can tell that, okay, cool, for Forbidden Psalm, he can order 30 or 40 copies total of the monthly. 30, 40 copies total of the monthly, pretty much. If they're buying those on every month, and these stores are, because we're building an avid fan base by having people go into the store and play the games and stuff like that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it's a fulfilling prophecy, I guess. I don't know. It's not self-fulfilling, because I'm not there being like, you will buy this, and then they buy that, you know. Anyway, go to your local game store, ask them to purchase your favorite games. Ask them, have you ever heard of Space Penguin Inc.? All you got to do is just and just be like, yeah, it's this one guy, and it's this other guy, and this chick, and these people. And you know, the more that those stores are interested and intrigued and want to pick up stuff that way, the more that ACD then can, you know, sanction buying, and then the more that they can buy from us, and then it just means the more cool stuff that we can put out faster. So, you know, staying on that 120 day cycle. So
No rest, only work.
there you go. Well, I mean, we've talked. Well, so I wrote a note, so we'll go back, and then I'll hit the let me write down what I was going to say so we don't forget this too. I'll see if I can read that later. The A5 medium box for Kill the Wizard. Love that size. It looks like it'll fit right on the shelf with the rest of your books. Was that a thought at all, or did you just go for medium on that now because that's what fit this current stuff?
Yeah, we can just talk about this board game forever. I love it. It's mine. That's mine. So we went with medium because, like I said, I misunderstood, you know, David Torrey thought that it was the box that he's got, that he has for, Cutthroat Fruit Merchants, also coming in the future from Space Penguin, or with Space Penguin, was the medium. And so I went with the medium, as is. It's the, let me just flip it upside down and see if I can. I can show you the board. And the reason I went with this is because on the Game Crafter, which is where we got these this prototype done, they have this medium size folding board, which is a 6-fold. Well, it's technically 1, 2, 3 folds, but it's a 6-panel board, right? Whoa. So this is the back. This is Raxel's tower, right? So this folds down nice and tight to fit inside this box. So that's the reason that it's kind of sized that way. Now, you'll notice that on the board that there are, part of me kind of wants to leave it where it just says Kill the Wizard in that blue, Kill the Wizard prototype. And then people get this and they're like, wait, it says prototype. Yeah, I know. We just thought it was funny because you know me. But I had Eric Hill, who did help me with the layout of the board and everything like that, put these slots over here for the cards. By the way, this illustration is by Tiger Wizard over at Epic Levels. So podcast fight. One of these days, I'm going to get all my podcast friends together and we're going to have a when you're a jet moment. So I hope that explained roundabout why the board is shaped that way, or the box is shaped that way.
Yeah.
Here's the front side of it.
Wow.
That looks very dope.
There's slots at on the bottom for where all the cards go. So
yeah. If you're listening, go to YouTube and watch this because you should see this board. That is super cool.
We're not doing great descriptors today. So
No, it's a board. Go to subscribe to our YouTube.
It's a board, right? It's a thing. Just come on, go look at numbers.
It. Go to the YouTube and look at it.
There's the character cards. These are the 6 characters you play. These are our characters from the Warlands game that the greatest DM that I've ever played with, Wayne Snyder. And I know he's not listening to this, but I get to see him next week. Wayne is him head skeleton dog on Tumblr. Trust me, it's good. Wayne also builds the ziggurat and the gong and is the owner of the wizard van. If you've ever gone to a con and seen the DCC booth and stuff like that, Wayne is the person who designs and builds all of those massive structures that Goodman Games uses. So anyway, Wayne ran a game called Warlands, which was he told us later was just running riffs in DCC, and we're just like, it makes sense now. But it was a campaign that ran for like 2 years, 18 months, something like that. It was really great, really weird. And then this was like the Redux campaign after most of us had died the first time around. This was a second set of characters that we played, and then I made a new robot character because I wanted a robot character for this game, because who doesn't love a good robot? So a lot of this is inspired by that game, and a lot of it just our all irreverent sense of humor, you know, growing up in the late 70s, early throughout the 80s, and just, I don't know, dumb TV, dumb cartoons. Like I had the best parents. It was called ABC Story Break and CBS Story Break and the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon and shit like that. That's where most of our education came from. So
Yeah, I definitely think
Dungeons and Dragons shows, cartoon.
Kid shows. Wait, you've never seen it? Off.
Is
you never
this
watched
is
Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Hunter. Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. The Dungeons. Okay. Well, I will send you the link later. They're all on the YouTubes, and you can
watch them all in a row.
There's 17 episodes. Is it 17 episodes? 17 episodes in the first season. It was short lived, a couple seasons. So, good show. Good show. I enjoy it. It's my bath time show. Like I take the iPad in and I soak in the tub and I watch the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
I want a tub to soak in. I have a stand up shower, buddy. I don't have any tub in my bathroom.
What you do with that, I can totally hack that for you, is you just tape it and then you crawl in the top, or you cut a hole in your ceiling and you now, I mean, you can
there
do
you
it.
Yeah.
You're right. That's a really, really good idea. I'm sure I'll get my my deposit back after taking that action. Yeah, so.
You absolutely should. I can't believe you haven't seen the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. They even put... I didn't hate the Dungeons & Dragons movie. And they have a nod to them in that, too, so that was neat. But I guarantee if you look up the Dungeon Master from the cartoon, you've seen that little fucker before. What's the thoughts? So you're playtesting and prototyping the board game right now. Do you have a hopeful timeline for when people not at cons might get a chance to take a peek at that? Or?
Oh, man. Sometime next year, 2025, fingers crossed. One thing that I want to do with Kill the Wizard is I want a print and play version at home. So everything is going to eventually get sized down to where folks can and the other thing too I want to do with it too is, and being lucky enough to work with David Torrey at Tastefully Done Games with Cutthroat Fruit Merchants, as David knows his way around Tabletop Simulator. So one thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a package on Tabletop Simulator on Steam for those folks who have that, so that you can actually play this on there. We're going to have a print and play version. It's one of those, like, it's always been that way. Like I've sculpted the game out of cutting little pieces and printing off a bunch of blank cards and handwriting them. And then actually being like, oh, why did I do that? Why didn't I just type them in there? Oh, duh. And then having them, so people don't have to read my shit, my chicken scratch, handwriting, but little tokens. I mean, you can play it. If you have a board game, then you have a mover, you have a meeple, or if you have Monopoly, you can be top hat guy, right? And you can use the top hat in the place of Tad the halfling, or you can use the shoe in place of JJ Janetskaya. Like, you, if you've got tokens, that's the thing is, making your own fun is something I'm not scared of. I've always had to be the entertainer for my younger siblings growing up, you know, and then going on and like teaching music classes and stuff like that, like at summer camps, and just other things, and always being able to hack and do something fun and wild and crafty with whatever you have at home. So that's the what we want to do with Kill the Wizard, is we want everything to be able to be on A5 or 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. And they're going to be a version for a size printer folks, and the one for the US size printer folks, to where you can get that map. You can print out those four pages of the map, and then you can put them together and you can tape them together. And that's your map. You might have to trim a little bit, but you put those together and that's your map. Awesome. Cool. Great. We've got the map. And then you there's like monsters, there's obelisks, there's items, there's strange occurrences, and there's time tracker. And yes, inadvertently it spells moist. Everyone's like, your token spell moist. I'm like, well, it wasn't on purpose for once. I didn't do a good joke on purpose. But you just need little tokens, you know what I'm saying? And you can use anything. We can do little scraps of paper. You need some dice. Oh no. And then you need something to simulate the cards. So we'll have print and play, so you can cut those cards out. And if you've ever made a Magic the Gathering proxy, you can just literally cut those out, slide them in with a Magic common or a Star Wars CCG common, rip, best game ever. And then you can print off your copy of the rules. The combat's really great. It involves combat matrices because it's a throwback to, you know, the the TSR era pocket game. I don't remember if anybody remembers those, but there's a game called Vampire. It's got a really great Arrow Lotus cover on it. I'm actually taking, that's the one time I think I might actually be like, hey, Earl, will you sign this? I usually don't have people sign stuff, but now that I've actually managed to get to this point with this game, I'm going to see if I can get Errol to sign my copy of Vampire, because that would be something. This is one of the first things I bought when I started playing games when I was a kid, when I was like 8 years old. Yeah.
Is this still the same copy?
Version. No, I wish. I totally wish. I mean, that would be really cool. But no, unfortunately, when we were younger, we experienced a house fire. So, yeah, you know those, I think it's not Gallants, but it's Ballantine Adult Fantasy. Remember the one with the unicorn and the circle, right? Like the Lynn Carter was the editor of was the line editor, like in the '70s. Anyway, we had all of the Tolkien, and they were in like a slip case, or like a paper slip case. Torched. Oh well. Ooh. So we don't have anything cool from that era. But I have since got it again and played it a lot. And I love that vampire game. So yeah, Kill the Wizard is a combination of TSR's Vampire, Hero Quest, the Jaws game that was created by Prospero Hall, published by Ravensburger from 2019, and Talisman. So it's literally parts of four of my favorite games, just mind numbed all the way down. So you can play it at a convention, exhausted as fuck, like at the end of the day, at the end of the night, you know, it's like 9 or 10 at night, 11 o'clock at night, where half the people are smashed, you know, and half the people are just like, what is this person on about? Like we're trying to make we're working out a low as a former and then sometimes still current lowest common denominator. We're working on making this usable by the lowest common denominator. So
there you go.
I'll have a great time with it then.
once you get on a tabletop simulator, you'll have to come on and
do some demos. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fantastic.
Definitely a plan. As you can see from the board, there's a lot of it. Like Tiger Wizard has not had full time to do inks on all of the things because we're at the stage now where he and David Hoskins, who's also and Andrew and David are doing the interior art for the cards and stuff like that. And then my friend Odysseus Jones is doing some spot art that's going to be in the rule book. He was like, just from what you're saying, it's kind of that picture looks like it's kind of like Ralph Bakshi's Wizards. And I was like, you mean Von Bode's Wizards? But okay. Ralph Bakshi ripped off Bode. Sorry. I'll do it.
Calm down in the comments, please.
What is he fucking talking about? I don't know. He's having a conversation with himself. Anyway,
amazingly classic Jarrett moment, right? Yeah. Like, we're all like, yeah, dude, whatever.
Yeah. It's good. Odysseus is doing some some spot art for the rule book, but as you can tell from the board, you can still see the pencil marks, like nothing's inked, and those colors are not final. That's those colors are all Eric Hill being like, do these need colors on the backs? Do they need a common back? And I'm like, oh yeah, they do. And so he went with, you know, there's a lot of blue in the sky on Doug's cover painting. And there's a lot of pink, you know, in the highlights and accents. So Eric extracted those and used those as the color picker for a lot of that stuff like that. Roque said that looks like 70s porn. And we're just like, we won. Perfect. It wasn't intentional.
That's what we wanted.
And also, like, I can't wait for Doug to see this and he'd be like, wow, they really fucked up the colors on my painting. I'm going to be like, it's a prototype. It's a prototype, Doug.
Look, it says along the side.
Exactly.
And on the board and everything, and it's going to stay.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Anyway, still a work in progress. We're still ways out from that. But yeah, getting a version built up and working in TTS sometime before the end of 2023, what year, 2024, is a goal. So we can start having, you know, people just have access to it and playing it and stuff like that, because it's a, I don't know. I'm interested to see how it does when it meets the public next weekend. You know, I'm hoping it's not as bad as I think it is going to be, where people are just like, "Wow, that's dog shit. You should just start all over." I'm going to be like, "I won! I won D&D."
There you go.
Yeah. How did we get back on the board game? You were talking about Karen, and we got back on the
because
board game.
Ryan asked.
You went through like three topics, so I just wrote notes as we went, and as soon as you took a breath, I jumped in and asked a question. That's how we got back, because now we're back to Karen. So we've talked about this, I think, the last two times you were on the show, where really it seems like post-pandemic, with the prices of everything and everything going off, that Kickstarter, at least a lot of the bigger projects you see on Kickstarter, that, you know, besides one that have like three famous people's name attached to it because they wrote one word in it, a lot of people are calming down on putting too much shit in their Kickstarter, like adding on three sets of dice and blah, blah, blah. And you see a lot of those like not doing as well, I feel. Plus just the simplification of getting it all. You're already doing a box set with Cairn. I think we said before, you're not putting dice in this, are you?
We're not. That was a choice that was made very early on when Yohai and I started talking last year about this. He was just like, "What about dice?" And or maybe I said, "What about dice?" And I'm just like, I look at it from a component structure. Mm-hmm. If we go with one printer and they handle the, you know, we have one printer that's handling the box and handling the book build and handling the other items in there. You know, I don't want to say too much about what they are. Most like people can probably figure out what's going into an RPG box set, but it's easy to handle them there. Now, can that place source this other item? Yes. Can that place source that other item and probably put that in there when they're doing the pack build? Yes, probably. Can this other place, can I order them from someplace else and can I have them shipped here? And then can they be packed into a box and shipped separately? Do I want to piss off my partner? Do I want Debbie to be mad at me? Not really. You know, like, does she, you know, we want minimal SKUs for this. You know, that's why we're hoping that everything comes in a box and like, we're going to get it shrink wrapped and there's going to be one SKU and one ISBN on the back of that, so that it just streamlines our entire thing. If people want to buy two copies of the thing, they can buy two copies of the thing. I'm not going to stop anybody from doing that, but you know, we're not really doing like a la carte versions of stuff like that. Like, it's just, we're really just focusing on the box set. That's why it even says on the Kickstarter, it says Karen 2E boxed set. That's literally what you get. You're not getting, you know, it's different if someone puts title of project and then involved in that is there is a tier where you get a box set or where you can get just the books, ma'am, you know, and just the in individual stuff like that. That's separate. We just literally have advertised this as the box set. And cause that's what Yohai wants. And that's what we want is like one SKU, make it simple. That's what we pack. And that kind of goes out from there, you know? I don't know. So yeah, so dice were like kicked out right off, and dice haven't really entered in. I have a lot of dice. Like, I have this whole tray of dice, the pieces right here. Like, these dice have been built and like collected over. I've got dice going back probably 15 years. Even when I wasn't playing RPGs, when I was, you know, I still have some random dice here and there, and like these spellburn luck tokens and stuff like that from, you know, 7-8 years ago, random stuff like that. So this is one of the grossest ones I have. It's a muscle or a bone D20, but it's not actually nice. Made out of bone. It's a, yeah.
Yeah, we all have a lot of dice at this point. I feel like we do. Can all agree.
And I feel like, that's not to say that at some point Space Penguin won't make a dice set.
Yeah.
Because we might want to make a dice set. Here, I'll tell you 100% truthfully, what I want to do is I want to achieve the Armory D30. And I know I hope Thrift is watching this. I don't have the comments up, but I know she is, and I know she's right there with me. Sharp edged, not even sharp, but just flat, you know, precision D30s. You just don't get them that aren't metal. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get them in metal and you can get stuff like that. Just aren't the Armory D30. They just don't make them. The molds don't exist. And that is a thing that at some point, someday, that's one of my dreams, is to find that. So that's when Space Penguin will do a dice set, is when we can do that. But that's going to be, you know, it probably won't even be a set. It's probably just going to be the D30, because I like the Zaki Game Science, you know, precision dice. I like, you know, the rest of those. Like, those are, I don't know. Anyway, I love dice. I didn't feel like putting them into this box set.
So. You know, the thing that you said is the thing that always pops into my head with a lot of these box sets. It's like, if you put 18 different things from 18 different companies, someone has to put that shit all together. And that feels like such a pain in the ass and such an extra added cost that it's just, I would rather have the book 6 weeks sooner than wait for you to put fucking dice in, because I have enough goddamn dice. You know,
I think my thing is just, it's like, there's so many projects that have had so many, maybe not specifically dice, but so many different things added into them. And it's just like, just waiting for that manufacturer to get that part in. And like, these Kickstarter updates that keep like pushing it off further, and further. I'm like, dude, I just don't even care about that thing. I just want the book, you know?
Yeah.
So
on it right now, with Forbidden Song, with the End Times Kickstarter, we're within our range. We're going to hit. These are going to pack and ship in April. Like we said, they're going to be in your hands in May. Like we said, that's our goal. But right now, I know Will and I are every week, we're just like on our Tuesday meetings, we're just like, nothing new to report. No, I mean, we do have new stuff to report. We're friends and we talk about life and other stuff like that. And then there are things moving down the line, you know, Endless Horrors and some other stuff like that, you know, Forbidden Song Hero Supers next year. I'm excited for that one, you know. I'm excited for all of the things for Bensom, actually. There's a ton of them. But right now we're waiting on the tokens and the maps from our friends at Formax in St. Louis. New, not a new printer, but a new to us printer that I discovered that can do tokens and large scale fold out maps like we wanted, that will fit.
Cool.
That we need for the games, you know, and those were like stretch goals with that. And are we going to do tokens and maps for future Forbidden Song Kickstarters? You damn right. Why? Because we've done it now and we figured it out. Yeah. But unfortunately, these books have been sitting. Look at this. I'm going to show you. These books have been sitting in Space Penguin headquarters for 2 weeks. The Collection of Death has been sitting here. The End Times, the soft cover. Here's the hard covers, even finally arrived from the UK the other day. And boy, they smell good. I'm a book sniffer. I wasn't a book sniffer for the longest time. No, whatever. It's a shout out to the book sniffers on the Necropolis. You know who you are. but yeah, so these things have been in the Warband book, your roster book, right? Mm-hmm. They've been in cool. For a couple of weeks now, and they just kind of sitting here, and we're like, kind of like, wow, we really have to wait for those other two things. Oh, now I look chagrined. I froze up and I look chagrined, don't I?
Yeah. Shame.
You do the thing with the camera again.
Oh, for those listening, none of this matters to you.
There we go.
But question, the real question that everyone listening is going to want to know the answer to. Was there any argument over box set versus boxed set?
Oh, you know, I always say boxed set. Oh man, look at this camera, I swear.
Is better, actually. This is like, this is a marked improvement. Yeah. Wait, how'd the poll resolve?
Box.
Box, B-O-X or B-O-X-E-D?
B-O-X.
Yeah. Wow. So it's a box set. No, because a box set is a set of boxes, y'all. Duh. This is a boxed set. That means it is a set in a box.
Hey, is that, you know, according to you.
Is that from Reddit?
No, you ran a poll in chat right now.
Right. Yeah, the two people that voted just said BOX, and I was one of them. Woo, look at us. So we say box.
Thanks, chat. Thanks for the participation.
Appreciate that out there, you guys. Gosh, also, so for those that can see the stream, we are running this beautiful slideshow above me and Extra Dirt that's got two of the covers for Cairn from Bruno Prosecco, as well as a couple art pieces from Rock Romero. Gosh, those covers are beautiful. Bruno does some amazing work. Is it just Bruno and Rock? Are you allowed to say what all art else is happening in those?
I think that Yohai has let it slip, shared it. Maybe I shouldn't without checking. And I know that he was busy doing childcare this afternoon. So I'm not. All will be revealed on March 27th. You know. Speaking of voiceover, can we tangent and say that did you all see Dunk Part 2? Look, the sandworms back there. Did you see Dunk Part 2? I have not seen
Dunk Part 2 yet. No.
I have not either. No. Did you get the old popcorn bucket?
There, the popcorn. You want to see it?
Oh, I see it now. No, it blended in, but now I definitely see the hole there. Look at this.
That's the official Dune sex toy.
I mean, you can check it out. You can put your whole arm in there.
You can just fist right into there.
I mean,
Man.
We're gonna go see it. I think this coming week, though. So
yeah, for those listening, don't watch this part.
don't watch this part.
No, I don't go. I don't see other human beings if I don't have to. So I will see it when it comes to my home.
It'll be on Max. Funny, the premiere weekend, I've been fascinated by this. Just been fascinated by this, as have a lot of people. This, I mean, just as an art piece, or just as a thing, it fits in with a lot of the other random ridiculous shit that's in this office.
Absolutely.
And I had to get one, and Boltneck Opossum, who's watching this, hi, was going out with his wife to watch it, and they didn't have any when he went to watch it. So I was just like, I said, Debbie, I said, can we go see Dunk Part 2? And she was like, I haven't watched Dunk Part 1. She says Dune, but I don't know. Is it called Dune? Looks like Dunk.
I think it's called Dunk. I think you're pronouncing it right.
I'm pretty sure Frank Herbert really meant it to be Dunk. Yeah.
It's Dunk. I mean, it's Dunk Messiah, the Children of Dunk, God Emperor of Dunk.
You know? Right. Yeah. Speaking of Dunks, I want some Dunks. Anyway.
The shoes?
No.
I mean, here's the thing. Coffee. Whoever said yes to that fucking bucket absolutely knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely people that went to go see that movie just to get that weird sex toy. 100%.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah. And I also got Boltneck Opossum one. It's sitting over there. Sorry. It's in the box. It'll be packed. I promise I'll get it out this weekend.
Wow. Look at you. Great brand.
Boom.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. Dunk sex toys, weird manufacturing stuff. But I will tell you this, it's a two part. It's got sticker stuff on it now.
It's got sticky stuff on it.
It's a two-part. There's like screws in it, so you know you had to have someone like assemble this. A machine possibly could have done it, but could have been a human. And then they came out. So speaking of assembly, going back to dice, You know, like somebody along the line was like, it's three pieces. And someone's like, well, we can't do it in two pieces and get the sculpt right, you know. And right. That's kind of how I feel about that, with like with throwing stuff like dice in there. You know, like it's just, you know, it's kind of extra. So,
yeah.
But I like that. That was easily one of our best tangents so far, just for the record.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Because we brought it back around.
Exactly. It was. That's why it's so amazing.
Expect the SPI sex toy sometime in 2026.
Wow. 2025. I'll put a date on it. Q4 2025.
There you go. AC/DC. Your local game store.
ACD distribution. ACD distribution.
I thought it was ADC.
ACD. See, I know what I'm saying. ACDC. Did you ever get your copy? That's got the beautiful SPI information in it.
No, funny story. The issue that last month's issue that would have had our first us for the first time in there. I've got the magazine before because when I worked at EF, I would get it and to see how it matched it. You know, Kristen had copies sent to me, and so we've had it the first month that we would have been listed in there. You'll love this. The other day, it arrives just the cover.
That's what you
said. Gut. Yeah. Yep.
Perfect.
Just the cover. So
you gotta call them up and say, listen, I gotta pin that on the wall. That's like our first dollar bill, kind of, but like of distro.
It's funny. Oh, that's okay. There'll be another one that'll come next month. So or this month, I guess. It could even be in the mailbox, like right on the other side of that wall right now. So
yeah. The other thing is, I know we've talked about this before, even when you were on the show prior to it now being called Not Cat Chats and our now recurring show. From when Space Penguin started to now, is as far as specifically the growth into distro and everything and getting into friendly local game stores and Kickstarter and everything, are you about where you thought you would be, or are you a little ahead, a little behind? I know you were talking about not doing Kickstarter for quite a while, but then, you know, obviously Karen Tui is you know, a big get. Yohai is great. How do you feel about those kind of like goals you were trying to check off?
Texting the boss lady that I won't have dinner ready. She's going to fire me. So you're asking overall, do I feel like where do I feel like we're at, like when we started, and then like where, you know, how it started, how it's going, that sort of thing.
Like, are you expected to be or?
Sure. So I feel that, kids, get out your projection sheets, learn how to do projections and learn, ask around, and pick up all of the little stuff that you think you might forget. little things like just expenses is one of the biggest things. I've learned to and incurred a lot of really small little expenses, like subscription type stuff. And we all have those in our lives, but imagine like all the ones you have in your life, you'll also need similar ones or in some way, shape or form, other things like that for a business. So there's a lot of little stuff like that that's kind of topped up and added in. Things move a lot slower than one would think, especially when you're like me and ADHD riddled, and you're just kind of like, you can bounce to other stuff. The rest of the real world doesn't bounce as fast as you can. Some people do take more than 48 hours to respond to emails. I don't know what that's about. But sometimes people do take longer than a couple of days to respond to email, and you just have to kind of learn to like get used to that. Stuff does move a little bit slower. There are a lot more steps. And even I have found myself starting to gauge more and put more of a distance, because it's initially you're just like, cool, work with somebody, edit a thing, help design thing, you know, get it laid out, whatever, write a thing, pay the money, print the book, sell the book. And that's cool. But now imagine you're doing that for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 20 things, all in various ways, shapes and forms, all with various creative teams that, you know, as someone who's mentally awesome over here, some teams, like, you just imagine a bunch of, you know, a bunch of folks with the same situation going on, like, and we're all working on trying to get this thing done and to the best of our ability, but just life and existence and in general, you know, like, everybody comes to things at different times. Sorry, that might have been UPS. We might get lucky and some of the new releases for April might arrive during this call. Dun, dun, dun. Everything's supposed to arrive within the hour, so we'll see. I think overall, it's kind of a wash of where I feel we're at. As far as, I feel like most stuff is good with how we're doing. Some things are better, some things are worse. I guess not worse, but just some things aren't as far along and some things are farther along. We will be 1 year old officially for business in July, right?
Wow.
July. So we've still got a couple of months here before it's quite hitting that 1 year mark. And to be on the edge of our, yes, we partnered with Will with the Forbidden Psalm one, but that wasn't Will's first rodeo, and that also wasn't, you know, Jarrett's first rodeo working with Will on a project. So that one, Karen, is going to be our first big crowdfund. We got board game prototypes, figuring out how to get things in line to work with distribution and figuring out how to do that as part of that chain's going. Handling a bunch of fulfillment projects for other creators and things like that. Like, that has been super fun and super exciting to get to see stuff that I backed. That, yes, Sam Sorensen is my friend. And I have edited his works before, and it was great. Like, you know, like, I first met Sam when Sam was just like, he interviewed Fiona and I about our editing process. And I was just like, that's weird. You know, like, he was like working on a paper or something, you know? And then I ended up editing a thing for him, and then he's written. So anyway, I backed Seas of Sand, and then a lot of the things that I back, I kind of just back and then just like forget that they're there, just because out of sight, out of mind. But to get to help Sam bring those things to fruition, you know, to get the map printed and the worm printed and the really nice, super awesome hardcover book printed, and then to help him get that, like, fulfilled, like, you know, to build and run a BK pre-order store and fulfilled and run, and then, you know, sending out like 300, 400 packages a couple of weeks ago, like a week and a half back, you know, like, that's awesome to be able to track and.
Oh no. Oh, we lost the audio this time too. Jert!
Watch those packages while you're working with a new shipping service.
Oh,
I'm still here.
You're back. Oh. Yeah.
I'm back. So, yeah, no, I never left.
You left for us.
Don't cry for me, Ryan Tina. I only know that song because of Madonna. This truthfully.
Gotcha. I think we lost you audio-wise, talking about getting to work with Sam, like, post BK store setup and everything. Oh no. Oh, no, just very still. All right. So, for those listening, we are in and out of freezes. So, when Jerk gets back, I think we're going to talk about some of the releases coming out. Besides what we've talked about already, which is Cairn box set coming at the end of the month. as well as Gary Khan and the board game prototypes. So, do we want to hit a BRB and get? Hey, we're back.
We emerge from the darkness.
Woo! Jared's moving. Yeah, I feel like every time that I see a Kickstarter now that I'm like, ooh, this one's really cool, I scroll down and I see Space Penguin Inc. distribution, and it's like their fulfillment, you know, partner and everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, on top of, you know, being around for less than a year at this point, the number of things that SPI has put out, this big Kickstarter coming up to kind of like round out the year-ish, April, May, June, July. Well, kind of. I mean, that's like Q3, really. And then, as well as doing all this distribution for a number of products down in Ungardy. No, don't freeze again, Dirt.
I'm still here.
We're here. Let's talk about the other projects that are coming out. The new other releases. We got Resonant, and we got At the Mutants of Madness. Just in case we do lose you, we want to make sure we cover those. So talk about those.
Okay, let's talk about At the Mutants of Madness.
Clearly a smidge of a Lovecraft reference there.
Sure. Written by my, it's telling me my internet connection is unstable. Do you think?
Aren't we all?
Right. So At the Mutants of Madness is Forrest Aguirre's, it's what, I think we said it's aimed at 7th.
It's not
a funnel. What, I don't know. I'm looking up. What this actually, so secret, I never look at projected party composition when it comes to modules. I always run everything as whatever level you want to bring it in. So
I just ignore the guidelines. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's just that's way more fun to do. Okay. At Mom Digital. Here we go. At Mom Digital. It is a, it's 4 to 6 7th level PCs. So that's kind of where it's scaled at. Like all of the numbers are like way up there and way high and stuff like that. But you can get this. You can run it as a funnel if you want to. It's totally cool. You can have, you know, you can bring 10 or 15 along, like savvy play, you know, like level schmevel, like whatever. And obviously, as you know, a reference to at the Mountains of Madness, and it's an MCC one. I don't give too much away, but I mean, as the cover shows, you know, they're great. Brad McDevitt mm-hmm. cover too. Too much playtesters. It's part hex crawl, and then there's a really, 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 really intense puzzle. Forrest has ran really, really, really kind of hone in and dial in how one actually does the puzzle at the end. We rearranged that a little bit. I'm taking copies of it with me to Gary Khan, so he and I can discuss it. You know, in your local brick and mortar retail store in April as well. But Joseph asked the other day, he was like, "Oh, do you think you can hand deliver those at Gary Khan? We can put them in as a new release." So they might be available if I can fit them into my luggage. I guess I could. I could take another suitcase. I don't know. I could take it.
One suitcase just for games.
Right, exactly. No, secret already. seriously, I don't. Why they always ask me to. Because Tom picks me up and like I always have like this big art. It's Debbie's big R2-D2 suitcase, and like it's so heavy. It's we hit it right to the 50-pound limit, with just. Classics, which is also, you can run it with DCC, you can run it with just about anything. It would probably run super cool with Mutant Year Zero if anybody uses the Year Zero engine, which I do love the Year Zero playbooks, not playbooks, the modules, the setups for those are good too. Lots of good weird dead things and unalive things and stuff like that. So I don't want to give too much of the module away. Our volumes are slim, but yeah, I think people are going to like that one.
Fun. The cover looks sick.
Yeah.
And and another Mothership module coming out. I think you guys have done, yeah. I mean, obviously Forbidden Tom the most, but Mothership probably the second at this point. And this one from Amanda P and Tony Tran. So what is Resonant?
Yeah. So Resonant is, people are going to be like, oh, that's really similar to Another Bug Hunt. I was like, well, as the editor on Another Bug Hunt, I can assure you that the two writers, Sean McCoy and, you know, Alan, Luke, and et cetera, who helped, all the folks who helped write Tyler, who helped write Bug Hunt, don't know Amanda, other than, you know, possibly, you know, Sean knows them on Twitter. But it's, get this, there's bugs in both of them. Oh wow. And
I think there's,
hey, space, they can't both too, have bugs, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
there's space, I know too. So Resonant, it's kind of the players, the crew get a message, and it's kind of like they can either work on the side of the company or they can work on the side of the settlers. But they go to this planet, and there's some experiments and whatnot that have happened there. And Amanda's bugs and Resonant deal with sound, and what they actually do with you to, like, and the concepts of carcinization. So even if you don't get Resonant to run it, it's just really interesting. Like, one of the inspirations is Havana Syndrome. Like, I don't know, you know, for your viewers and watchers familiar with Havana Syndrome and what that supposedly does, you know, to people and things like that, like, you know, sound battles and, you know, stuff like that. It's got a bunch of really great Tony Tran art in it. Die Sugars did the layout and design and totally, like, made some amazing propaganda pictures using Tony's art, and just really did a kick-ass job with the design and the layout. Like, overall, like, I can't say that enough about Die. Like, obviously, like, he's my friend and works for us doing, you know, marketing and design, but just overall in general, just like, I'm just lucky enough to be able to work with him and, like, see the way that stuff comes out of his brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these folks I get to work with, like, I'm usually the first person who gets to see a lot of this stuff. That's kind of why I do. That's the real secret of what I do, is because I want to be first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yep, 100%. Yeah, I saw the Die posters up on Twitter last evening, and they're fantastic. I mean, Die does an amazing job with the promo, with the editing, with the layout. I mean, I think I've lost count of the number of times we've reviewed a book and seen Die's name as the layout person. They're always stunning. Yeah. So it's a great they're a great person to have on the team. All around, it sounds like. I mean, you know everyone, and the team that you have around you is fantastic. I mean, you talked about Eric Hill with Kill the Wizard. You know, they're working with Meatheads right now. I think there's like 48 hours left on that. Go back that.
Yep.
And you actually were the one that was like, hey, you should meet this person and talk to them about Meatheads. And that was such a great, you know, introduction. Appreciate that, because Eric is fantastic. Mark's fantastic. Meatheads was such a game to run with Stella, cool. Who's in chat. So just the connections you've built, and clearly keeping the good people around you, has definitely made, you know, Space Penguin. I mean, I can't imagine, I can't finish one single thing, much less start a company and put out, what, like 20 things by this point. So it's probably definitely helped to have these wonderful people around you.
No, absolutely. Like, I can't do any of this. Sorry. Phone blowing up, making things. It never stops. It never stops. Yeah, no, this is not, this is the part, this is the business Seriously, without writers writing, without artists arting and layouting and editing and design, you know, and marketing, without any of those people, we don't have anything to do. You know what I'm saying? Without that, without the act of creation, we're just consuming, and like, that's great. But like, just, I don't know. It's just, it's fun to be on this side of it. You know, like I have, I won't go into on the show because whatever, but even when it gets really, really, really down and I'm just like, I just want to quit. I want to phone I would, you know, end up when to close all contracts, want to end the whole thing. And Debbie's just like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, you're right. I would be bored. You know, I'm one of those people. I was getting our tire repaired the other day, and one of the guys was like, oh yeah, I retired, and now I'm unretired because I'm working because, you know, the inflation is so bad and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I'm not even 50 yet and I'm skipping retirement. We're just going to work until we die.
Nice. The American dream.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, why not? But then I think about it, and I think about like my parents, my grandparents and my great grandparents, they all like retired. And like, I'm just like, you know, we live here in Florida, and like, I kind of like wonder, like, I guess folks get to read more.
Yeah,
I guess they have time to read, so that might be cool.
I hear they play golf retire, a lot,
but I don't like golf. Like, I like mini golf. That's kind of fun, but you can only play, you know, like, you can only do some mini golf courses like so many times, like once usually. Yeah. Did I just lock up again? No.
Well, not such a. But no, I feel I would retire right now and literally do nothing for the next 30 years. I am definitely a person who could easily never work and not be bored at all. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be long dead by 65, so that's nothing that I really need to worry about at all.
Fair.
But
not dark at all.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, the American dream is for the richest to work the poorest until they die, consuming all the profits. Hoarding like fucking dragons, you know? I mean, America. You know? Yeah. Good times.
Jeff Smaug, Bezos, et cetera.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for Twitch.
I wonder how dark these episodes are going to get, like, the rest of this election year.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah. You know. It is what it is, you know.
We old have man, 2024
geriatrics, 2024.
Woo! Dark Lord for president, 2024.
Seriously. I mean, do you want to just get? I mean, let's just get weird. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers for VP. Like, why not?
There
like,
you go.
Come on, hey, come on, just do
gonna,
it.
I'm not even gonna joke about what.
yeah. Wait. Hold
my
on.
God. My God. So this has been Not Cat Chats episode 2. Very excited for all the stuff that's coming out. We will make sure repeatedly that we tell you about the Cairn boxed set that is releasing on what day?
The Kickstarter goes live on, is it Wednesday? Wednesday. March 27th at time TBD. I have had a couple when we announced that, hey, this is the date that it's going to go live. I no shit you not. As soon as that email went out, I had 3 different people wanting to know what time. And I'm like, sometime during the day? Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you're all freaks at some point in time.
It's all the same thing. Listen, it's not a Max Moon Kickstarter. I'm not going to have to get number one right. Every single time.
Yeah. You're going to get the same box set. I think that's what it is too. It's like a lot of
people want to be.
Some of those people have been getting that first 48 and that whatnot. And hey, like, awesome. Like, if that's a way to do it. But again, like I said at the beginning of the show, like I don't want to have to interact with that aspect of it. And that, so what we're going to do is we're going to turn it our way a little bit.
There we go.
Nice.
All right. Well, Jert, getting a little choppy again here.
Of course I am.
We're that's gonna be our not cat chats too. Jert is gonna be back next month again. I think we planned for like 2 more months before we need to sit down and actually pick dates again.
Yes, and I have it in my calendar.
There we go. So, but for those that like our tangents that give you a little bit of information and some behind the scenes about one of the, in our opinions, best indie people right now, the stuff that they're putting out, as well as the people that are involved in everything that they're doing, keep tuning into our Not Cat Chat so you can keep hearing about Space Penguin, hear from Jert, hear the behind the scenes of everything that's going on, and hear about all these projects that are coming out. So Jert, thank you so much for being here.
Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All the time, anyway. And we'll let you guys know ahead of time before Jert will be back again. So that's it. That's us for today. So we'll see you all later.
Bye.